Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today it is Tuesday, July 24th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal right now to end marijuana prohibition in America. We can do it together, but legalization won't happen without your support. So make sure you join or donate today at norml.org. This week here on the Audio Stash, we're covering the very important Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment debate and floor vote in the U.S. Congress this week. Today on the podcast, we've got Congressman Maurice Hinchey, and tomorrow we'll have the other co-sponsor of this amendment, Congressman Dana Raubacher of California. Congressman Hinchey joins us today along with Aaron Houston, the Director of Government Relations at the Marijuana Policy Project. We'll also check in with Keith Strupp, Normal's founder and continuing legal counsel today. The Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment should come up for a debate and floor vote tomorrow. And make sure you get involved with the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment right now by contacting your congressional representative and urging them to vote in favor of the amendment. We have links to get involved today. Take action right now in Normal's Take Action Center. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. I'll be covering the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment all week this week, and we'll have actual audio from the House floor debate. Let's get right into our program today with our interview with Congressman Maurice Hinchey, the other co-sponsor of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. Congressman Dana Raubacher from California will appear tomorrow in Normal's Daily Audio Stash, along with a longtime supporter of this amendment, Congressman Ron Paul. That's all this week right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, your first source for marijuana reform information. Congressman Maurice Hinchey represents the 22nd District in New York State and has championed the protection of medical marijuana patients with the amendment he co-wrote and co-sponsors each year. Congressman Hinchey appeared here on the podcast last year to discuss the amendment, and it's a great privilege to welcome him back here to the program today. Congressman Hinchey, welcome back to Normal's podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, and thanks for your attention to this subject.
Wonderful to speak with you again today, Congressman. I know the floor debate will likely take place tomorrow or Thursday on the amendment. Let me start by asking, if you think the majority shift in Congress and having Congresswoman Pelosi as House Speaker, who has also been a strong supporter of this amendment, could have a positive impact on the vote this week?
I think there's a very good chance that it will have a positive impact on our effort to get this legislation passed. What we're doing is very sensible and should not be terribly controversial, but some people nevertheless have made it so, because it's not controversial, I think, because what we're doing is simply saying that the federal government should not intrude upon states who have made the judgment, most of them in terms of voting process where the general public have participated and made the decision, and that decision is to authorize the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes under the prescription of a licensed physician in those states. We now have 12 states, most recently New Mexico has joined, 12 states that authorize the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. And those medicinal purposes are very important, particularly for diseases such as AIDS, for cancer, for multiple sclerosis, for glaucoma, and other diseases, where the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes can provide for the reduction, substantial reduction of pain and discomfort for the people who are afflicted with those diseases.
And your home state of New York considered becoming one of the states that allow medical marijuana access just this year. Governor Spitzer, a former prosecutor, expressed his support, and the New York State Assembly did pass a medical marijuana bill, but it didn't make it to the state Senate. Let me ask what you think of that activity there and really across New England on this topic this year.
Well, yes, it's important to me as a New Yorker that New York is finally once again addressing this. This is an issue that in New York has received a positive reaction in the state assembly numerous times, but unfortunately the state senate, because of their particular political perspective apparently, has not been willing to take it up. But now with the new governor in and a governor who is much more open and understanding, I think that there's a better chance that New York might be able to adopt a law that would put them in line with the 12 states now that authorize the use of marijuana for medical purposes.
Now, last year there was record support for the amendment, and that support came from both parties. Is there a sense that the issue of medical marijuana and patient protection, these issues are really bipartisan topics?
Well, it shouldn't go on party lines. In the past, it seems to have gone on party lines to a large extent, with mostly Democrats being in favor of it and mostly Republicans being opposed to it. But it is not strictly partisan. As you pointed out in your introduction, this is a bipartisan initiative. Dana Rohrabacher from California has been with me on this issue from the beginning, and we've been sponsoring it together now for years. And last year we received 163 votes in favor of it. And I think the increase in the votes that are being cast in favor of it over the last several years coincide with a growing understanding, not just among members of the Congress, but among the general public in the various parts of the country, that this is something that is just a humanitarian thing to do. It's just reasonable. It provides no problems whatsoever. It doesn't legalize the use of marijuana for any other purpose other than for medicinal uses under the jurisdiction of a licensed physician in a state that has passed a law that authorizes the use of marijuana for these medical purposes. And it can have very positive effects for all of those diseases that I mentioned and for others as well. It can relieve very severe pain. It can reduce and eliminate nausea in people. It can bring back appetites for people who are suffering from various forms of cancer and who are receiving treatments, the combination of which reduces, almost eliminates, their appetite, their desire for food. And they need that appetite to be returned in order to regain their strength. So this is just a sensible, reasonable thing to do to help people who are afflicted with serious disease.
Now, Congressman Hinchey, do you think there is growing sophistication about the subject of medical marijuana, both in the public and among elected officials? And, you know, let me ask, does that level of knowledge come from having medical marijuana for a decade now in California, or perhaps the growing body of scientific research in this area?
Well, I think the two points that you make are critically important, and I think it's a combination of both. There is increasing amount of information and science. There was a study that was conducted by the National Academy of Sciences, the Institute of Medicine, back in 1999. And in that study, they made it clear that marijuana can be a very effective product for medicinal purposes. And it can provide a substantial amount of relief and aid in helping people recover from serious illnesses and disease. That and that information, that growth in scientific information and understanding, and also the the amount of people, the number of people across the country in many places who are understanding this much better and who realize that this is something that is in their interest, the interest of them, their families, their communities. It just helps people who are sick, who are ill, who are suffering from various kinds of serious ailments. It just makes sense to have it, and it doesn't make any sense not to have it. If a state adopts a law that says under their law, physicians who are licensed in their state, under their state law, have the right to prescribe various forms of medication, this should be one of them. And the federal government should not step in and intrude upon that. That's part of the basic provisions of the Constitution of our country, where you have states that engage in elements of creativity and courage to do things that are in the interest of their citizens. And as individual states adopt those plans and initiatives, they tend to spread out across the rest of the country. And that's what's been happening now for years, as the number of states has grown to 12 that authorize the use of marijuana for medical purposes. And a large number of other states have it under active consideration. And of those 12 states, with the exceptions of Hawaii and Vermont, where the laws have been passed by the legislature, in all of the other 10 states, the laws were adopted by referendum. The citizens of those states participated in that process and voted to authorize this medical use of marijuana for these medicinal purposes. So it just shows you that more and more people across the country understand this, and they realize that it's in the interest of people who are ill, and it can help them recover from that illness and get their lives back in a positive shape again.
Let me also ask this, because the amendment would in some ways specifically affect this realm in politics. We saw Connecticut Governor Jody Rell veto medical marijuana legislation that had passed her state legislature with a strong majority there, because she said it would conflict with federal law and patients could be arrested. But do you think that there is growing outrage about the activities of the DEA in places like California when it comes to essentially the harassment of medical marijuana patients and facilities?
Well, I think there is. I think there's a growing resentment to the way in which the DEA has operated in this particular regard, intruding upon states' rights. We have a very wonderful system of government in this country, based upon a constitution that was put together with people who were absolutely brilliant back in the 18th century. And, of course, they were basing that document on a lot of experience, particularly in our own country as it developed in a colonial sense, and also experience in Europe. One of the most important parts of that constitution, the most important provision, is the element of separation of responsibilities between the state and federal government. The Constitution outlines specific areas where the federal government has responsibility, and then it says everything else is governed by the states themselves. It's the basic provision of federalism. So a governor who is willing to veto a piece of legislation that has been passed by the legislature and veto it because of the fact that the federal government has a different point of view, a different opinion, and is aggressively following that opinion, I think doesn't really fully understand the basic provisions of the Constitution and how this federalism, these federal provisions, allow states, well, not just allow them, in fact, encourage states to be creative in the ways in which they address the needs of their citizens and protect the rights of those citizens. And that's what 12 states have done, and I think other states are in the process of doing the same thing with regard to this particular issue.
So passage of this amendment could help those governors who are apparently skeptical of their own population and legislatures. Passage of this could help those governors understand that the federal government is not going to interfere with their legal experiments in allowing medical marijuana access.
Well, whether the federal government is against them or not is beside the point, really. If you're dealing with the Constitution, these are provisions of states' rights. These kinds of initiatives are up to the state governments to decide as to how they are going to protect and work with their citizens in order to make their lives better, more safe, and secure. What we're confronting here in Washington these days is particularly over the course of the last 6 years, has been a Congress and an executive branch who have, in many ways, impinged upon states' rights and taken initiatives which are attempting to make it more difficult for states to stand up and protect the rights and privileges of their citizens. And that's been done in various ways, including financial ways, the regulation of health care in terms of the regulation of drugs, things of that nature, and a whole host of other areas. So this is one of the main issues that our country has to deal with, and it's dealt with in state legislatures and by our citizens. As we pointed out, in 10 of those states, individual citizens have pushed for and adopted referendum which authorized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. So this is it's a basic issue that is fundamental to the principles of our country and critical to the continued maintenance of our democratic republic. The right of states to stand up for their citizens and not be impeded by the federal government, which is attempting to impede upon those states, intrude upon the states' rights and the states' ability to stand up and protect their citizens in various ways.
Well, Congressman, I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us here again today during a very busy week there in Washington.
Chris, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you.
Thank you again. Congressman Maurice Hinchey represents the 22nd District in New York State, and he is the co-sponsor of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. We have links to Congressman Hinchey's website on our own at normalaudiostash.com. Make sure you get involved with the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment yourself. Contact your local congressional representative and ask them to vote in favor of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. We have links to do that in Normal's Take Action Center, and of course we have those links at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned, we're going to speak with Normal's founder and legal counsel, Keith Strupp, and also Aaron Houston, the Director of Government Relations at the Marijuana Policy Project, all here today, right here in your Audio Stash.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, we're going to speak with Normal's founder and legal counsel, Keith Strupp, to weigh in on the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. Keith, welcome back to the program today.
Thank you. Always nice to be with you.
Always good to have you on the show here, Keith. Now, Keith, what has this amendment meant to the movement? What has Hinchey-Raubacher meant to medical marijuana access overall to have it discussed on the House floor these past 4 years?
Well, you know, working with Congress is always a challenge because it's a labyrinth over there, and there are so many committees and subcommittees, and of course, each one's controlled by whichever party for the moment has a majority of members. So for about the last 10 years or so, we've not been able to get hearings on any proposals of ours. We haven't been able to get a direct vote on any proposals of ours. We've been able to get a few bills introduced, until recently only on the issue of medical marijuana. That's going to change soon, I'm happy to say. But it's pretty frustrating when an issue that the rest of the country is concerned about and heavily favors, roughly 80% of the population favor the medical use of marijuana when a doctor recommends its use, but we can't even get the Congress to vote on the issue. So what the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment has done, it's allowed us to get around the roadblocks in the various committees that have kept us from getting hearings and a vote and moving a bill to the floor, and at least once a year, because of this amendment, it gives members of Congress the opportunity, whether they want it or not, it gives them the opportunity to take a position on the record. Do you or do you not favor the medical use of marijuana? Now, it's a little indirect. What this proposal would do would be preclude the Department of Justice and the DEA from spending any federal funds against medical marijuana patients in those 12 states where medical marijuana has been legalized. So it's not a direct vote on up or down on medical use of marijuana, but it's the closest we've been able to get, and it is a fairly accurate test of where the members come down on this issue.
And there was some very passionate debate on the part of both Republicans and Democrats last year.
Well, remember this, that a member certainly does not have to stand up and comment on any proposal or any vote that's coming up. So the people who generally volunteer their time and their staff's time to prepare statements and make a statement on the floor, they're either very strongly in favor of the measure or they're very strongly opposed to it. And so you end up getting a fairly well-reasoned debate, as close as you get to a debate, from these votes on the amendments and these statements on the amendments. And also, those of us who work on the issue professionally over years, we have opportunities, obviously, to help shape the way the issue is debated because we work with staff members on the Hill. So, as I say, it's not the perfect solution. Frankly, I think it's about time that we began to talk about more than just the medical use of marijuana, and I am happy to say that come this fall, sometime in September, we are going to get a complete marijuana decriminalization bill introduced that would eliminate all penalties for the personal use of marijuana, possession of up to 3.5 ounces, and for the not-for-profit transfer of small amounts of marijuana between adults. So we're going to finally try to get the debate in Congress back on the real broader question of whether we should continue to treat marijuana smokers like criminals, regardless of whether they're smoking for medical reasons, for religious reasons, or for pure pleasure. But for the moment, this medical use debate is important. It gives a lot of energy and enthusiasm to state legislators where the issue is still alive. And so it's an important debate.
And in talking about this upcoming legislation in September, Keith, you know, how does federal legislation affect the states? I mean, does it send a message to states? Does it compel them to follow? You know, how does that work?
Well, certainly nothing we're going to be introducing is going to compel states to follow. Most of us don't really want a federal government that sits up here on the Hill and dictates every social issue to every American state. That is not the way our system is supposed to work. The 50 state legislatures were established as laboratories for policy so that in the way it's supposed to work is states experiment with different methods of solving a problem, and in this case, some states might want to totally legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana. Others might want to just decriminalize its use but not allow its sale, and others might want to continue with criminal penalties. After a few years with those various methods being experienced, then it's possible to reach a conclusion as to what makes sense for most of the states. So what our bill is going to propose is this. We're simply going to propose that the federal government back out of these minor marijuana offenses altogether and allow states the freedom to adopt whatever system they think makes sense for them. So it would be an important bill if we can get it passed indeed, and it would be a major boost towards some of these states where we've already had interest in some states from trying to legally regulate marijuana, but until the federal government changes the federal law, they can't legally do it. So this is the first step towards permitting that.
Righto, Keith. Well, thank you again for taking time to join us here today on the Audio Stash. I look forward to speaking with you again in our Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment coverage.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Keith Strupp is Normal's founder and legal counsel. You can contact him at keith@normal.org or area code 202-483-5500. Stay tuned. We're going to speak with the Director of Government Relations, Aaron Houston, coming up next.
What's up, y'all? This is Soja, and you are right now listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Big up yourself.
Next up today, we're going to speak with the Director of Government Relations at the Marijuana Policy Project, Aaron Houston. Aaron was profiled in the Showtime documentary In Pot We Trust. That followed his lobbying efforts during last year's Hinchey-Raubacher vote. Aaron spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill speaking directly with elected officials and their staffers. Aaron, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
Chris, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Aaron, it's great to have you here on the program today to talk about the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. Last year, it received record support for its history, and we're expecting activity on this very, very soon this week. So what do you think we can expect to see surrounding the amendment this year?
It has been raised for each of the past 4 years, starting in 2003. And most recently, last year in 2006, the amendment received a record 163 votes on the House floor. This year, I think we might be able to expect that we'll reach another record number, given some of the changes in the seats that occurred in November's election. We are pretty confident that we're going to see a good number of new votes on this measure this year.
And do you think that the high level of activity on the state level this year, with New Mexico authorizing medical access and all of the activity in New England, could have some positive effect on this year as well?
Absolutely, I do. I think that every time a new state and a new state is added to that roster of states that allow seriously ill people to use medical marijuana with their doctor's approval, I think that politicians take notice. And I think that politicians like perhaps Heather Wilson, Representative Heather Wilson, who represents Albuquerque, will take into consideration the fact that the citizens of her state want this, and the legislature and the governor and the leadership of her state have instituted it because they just don't see the benefit in arresting seriously ill people and their caregivers.
And while the amendment would essentially fully restrict DEA agents from interfering with authorized medical marijuana users, it doesn't restrict the DEA in any other way, I understand.
Well, the amendment reads that the DEA shall not spend any funds to interfere in the states that allow medical marijuana. So what that means to us is that the DEA would likely look into activities in the states still. They would not in any way be prohibited from enforcing federal law against people who are involved in non-medical marijuana activities. So the amendment is very narrowly constructed, and we believe that that will increase its chances of garnering a good number of votes. We almost call it a pilot program in a way, because it will be in effect for only one fiscal year. And it's an opportunity to take a look at how the DEA is spending its resources. And it's an opportunity as well for the DEA administration to take a look at the fact that they have 25% of their agent workforce at the southern border right now, and they still have a catch-and-release policy for non-nationals who drive up to 500 pounds of marijuana through the southern border. We have an agent shortfall with the DEA agents right now. And for as much of a problem as they claim the southern border is, it seems like they should be paying more attention to it rather than focusing their resources on investigating and arresting seriously ill people and their caregivers. And to answer your question directly, I believe that the amendment would essentially cause the DEA to take a look at some of these activities in the medical marijuana states. And if the DEA were to decide in that instance that the people who are participating in the state medical marijuana program are actually in compliance with the state law, then they would not be authorized to spend any resources to raid or arrest them.
Let me also ask you about the further impact of this debate, Aaron. Some of the vocal supporters of this last year, Congressman Ron Paul, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, you know, does this topic of medical marijuana then take on a life of its own in the presidential politics happening already, do you think?
Oh, I think that Congressman Paul's stature on the national scene right now and Chairman Kucinich's stature on the national scene will only bolster the attention that's given to this amendment. And I think more people from around the country will take a look at it, because I think a lot of people are hearing particularly Representative Paul's message right now and out there on the Internet. And I suspect a good number of them have thought about this issue a little bit, but perhaps have never taken action on it. And by the way, if anyone wants to take action on the amendment, I would urge them to call their representative at the Capitol switchboard or use our website, mpp.org, to write their member of Congress an email urging the member to support the amendment.
And something that was perhaps overlooked by mainstream media last year that really can't be overlooked this year is the support of Nancy Pelosi for this. Last year she was very vocal on the amendment. Now she is House Speaker. Could that come into play?
Oh, I think that certainly could have some play. I think members of Congress will be watching what Speaker Pelosi does. And I think that I think that the caucus has a great deal of respect for her. And I think that many of them know that she has been active in the past. And so I think that only helps. And I would say that there are a number of new members of Congress who have never cast a vote on this issue before. And of course, as we know, it's difficult for politicians to change their votes after establishing a record on something. So we believe that a good number of freshmen will really take a serious look at this issue.
And as Congressman Hinchy pointed out earlier, it's certainly not just Democrats in favor of this.
Well, Chris, I'm very encouraged by some of the Republican support we've received in the past years. And notably last year, we had some conservatives like Campbell from California, and we also had conservatives staunch conservatives like Dan Burton, even from Indiana, voting with us last year. And for those who have been around for a while might recall that Dan Burton used to shower the Clinton White House with subpoenas. So we're not talking about any bleeding heart liberal here. Dan Burton is a very conservative member, but he took a look at this, and I believe he said, I don't think that the federal government should be interfering in states that allow this.
Also, this year, as opposed to 2006, it really seems like the topic of medical marijuana is readily in the public eye again, with all of the activity on a state level regarding the issue recently.
I believe that medical marijuana is increasing its support all the time because of the growing movement around the country and the 80% support of the American people. I believe that's percolating up, and it continues to percolate up at a faster and faster rate to our politicians in Congress. And I believe that very soon we will see Congress pass protections for medical marijuana patients.
And Aaron, is science a factor here? Do the politicians look more to the scientific data or their constituency when it comes to this issue, do you think?
Oh, I think that the politicians who have supported this in the past have clearly looked at the science. And I think that's why many of them do support it, because they have taken a hard look at the scientific data that says that medical marijuana does have efficacy for patients. And they've looked at the Institute of Medicine's report, which said that there are some limited uses where medical marijuana can be useful and has therapeutic value. So I do think that the members who support this tend to look at the science, and they're persuaded by it.
Also, Aaron, while I've got you on the phone today, you were featured in the Showtime documentary In Pot We Trust. You must be getting a lot of feedback from that right now.
I've gotten a tremendously positive response from my appearance in the documentary, and it was an honor to be included in such a documentary with such brave people as Rhonda O'Donnell and Jacqueline Patterson. I really feel like they're the real heroes of this story, and Rhonda, for example, has taken the fight to the Rhode Island state legislature, and in fact, I think largely due to her efforts and her advocacy, that is now a medical marijuana state. Rhode Island is now a legal medical marijuana state, as people who watch the documentary find out. So I'm just honored to be included in such a prestigious mix of people.
And the camera crew followed you around as you visited the congressional offices during last year's Hinchey-Rottbacher debate. It must not have been easy.
It was. I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. It's having a camera crew follow you around just in a normal 3 or 4 days is a little bit trying anyway. But put that in front of the vote and the time that's leading up to the vote, and boy, it became a little bit more complicated. But I think they caught me swearing a couple times in the film.
Well, not to burst anyone's bubble out there, but there's a whole lot of curse words flying around Capitol Hill on any given day. Aaron, I want to thank you for taking time to discuss the Hinchey-Rottbacher Amendment with us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again on the heels of the House vote later this week.
Likewise, Chris. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you again, Aaron. Aaron Houston is the Director of Government Relations at the Marijuana Policy Project. We have links to him up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Make sure you get involved with the Hinchey-Rottbacher debate in your area. Everyone's got a congressional rep, and they'll all have a chance to vote on this amendment this week. Make sure you contact your congressional rep right now via email and ask them to vote in favor of Hinchey-Rottbacher. We have links to do that in Normal's Take Action Center, and of course we have links on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Don't wait another moment, folks. This type of contact with elected officials really is the most effective way you can promote reform, and you can do it right from your computer. It's that easy. Again, the links are up at normalaudiostash.com. Everyone, get involved today. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.